You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Welcome to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert, CPA, CFP. We're on the web at www.yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online at www.wdiy.org. So good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show. And what is different about today's show? Well, I guess the obvious, Lori is not here this evening. This is Rod Young, CPA, CFP. I'm here with you for the next hour, looking forward to it. I've hosted a number of times in the past for Lori to give her a break when on vacation or whatever, and so glad to be here. I've also been a guest of Lori's numerous times in the past. So I'm looking forward to our show tonight. I'm looking forward to hear from you. This show is for you, the listeners. And I know Lori says that every week. So, we're here for you and try to educate you regarding your financial choices. And, if you're a regular listener, I know that you know that Lori's a tough act to follow. So I'll do my best to keep up to her high standards. So welcome to the show, everyone. Today is Wednesday, July 31st, 2013, and I will do a quick review of the financial news today, the financial markets. So the stock markets were mixed today. The Dow closed down slightly today at 15,499.54. That was down 0.14% for the day, so just a fraction. Year-to-date, however, the Dow is up over 18%, so it has been a very strong 2013 for the Dow. The NASDAQ index was up today. It was up at 3,626.37, which is an increase of 0.27% for the day. Year-to-date for the 2013 for the NASDAQ, it is up 20%. So very strong year for the equity markets so far. The S&P 500 index closed down slightly, very slightly, at 1,685.73, which is down 0.01% for the day. So effectively, it was even for the day. And year to date, the S&P 500 index is up 15.66%. So far through a little over half of 2013, we've seen very strong performance in the equity markets. Okay, so what are we going to discuss tonight? As you may be aware from listening in the past, we cover any variety of financial planning topics on the show. Over the past few weeks, Lori's talked about everything from energy efficiency and philanthropy to choosing executors and trustees and guardians to life phase planning for blended families. So, as you can see, she covers a lot of different topics. I talked to Lori last week and asked her what she had not discussed in a while on the show and what she thought would be a good topic for the show tonight. And she said she had not done any shows recently on the topic of investing. So I said to Lori, well, that's a pretty broad topic. But I am going to cover it, and I'm going to talk about investing tonight, and I'm going to cover it on a very broad level. We will go an inch deep on a number of different topics. So I'm going to call the show tonight Plain Talk About Investing. We'll call it a top 10 basics of investing. And we'll go over a list of items I think you should think about as you consider your investment portfolios. But the issues I've come up with for tonight, they may not be your questions or issues that are on your mind tonight. So give me a call and ask your financial question, even if it is off topic. And also, I'd like to say, and if Lori, if you're listening, this is kudos to you. I'd like to say that as I prepared for tonight's show, and every time I've prepared for the show in the past, it does give me a newfound appreciation for Lori and the work that she does on this show each week to make sure that you folks out there have a very high-quality show to listen to. In my personal experience, it takes me 4 or 5 hours to prepare for a one-hour show. And while I know Lori does it week in and week out, so she's probably quite a bit more efficient at it than I am, it is quite a bit of energy that goes into to preparing for the show. So, Lori, I just want you to know that we all appreciate the effort that you put into the show each week. So, before we get into the topic of plain talk about investing, remember that we are live tonight. We're here to take your questions, as I've said. Judy Ann is here with me tonight, and she will answer your calls. You can also submit your questions online at yourfinancialchoices.com or WDIY.org, and she will take your online submissions and hand them off to me to answer the questions. You're welcome to talk to me live on the air, or you're welcome to talk to Judy Ann and give her your question, and she will pass it off to me, and I will do my best to answer it. As a reminder, we discuss general financial planning topics, not specific investments. So while I will be talking about investments tonight, I'm not here to give specific investment advice tonight. So again, please give us a call. And I guess to call, you need a phone number. So the number to call in is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can call at any time. Interrupt the show, again, on topic or off topic. So, and not in any particular order, let's begin to talk about this issue of plain talk about investing. And what I've done is I've turned it into a top 10 basics of investing. This top 10 list is not in any particular order. And I'm going to try to keep this discussion at a very, what I'll call, practical level. I'm not going to sit here and talk investment technical language with you, so you're not going to hear me talking about alpha or beta or convexity or Sharpe ratio. I'm going to try to just talk about what I've seen over the years of experience that I have discussed investments with clients, and talk about just the very practical issues and struggles that they deal with as they try to understand how to handle their investment portfolios. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, folks. Number 10 on the list, again, not in any particular order, but I think this is a good place to start, and that is you need to start somewhere. So you need to start, but what I mean by that is you need to start investing at some point in time. And I have had many conversations with people over the years and said many times that the single greatest, I think I've even said it on this show in the past, the single greatest wealth accumulation tool that you have available to you is automatic payroll deduction and automatic bank transfer. It's an incredible wealth accumulation tool, and if you look at the assets that are held in employer 401k and 403b plans and look at those numbers, you'd understand what I'm saying. So for most of us, aside from maybe our house, the 401k and the 403b, that employer plan, is our single biggest asset. So you have to start somewhere. So when you have that opportunity, even if you're right out of college, you get your first job, you've got a 401k available to you, start using it right away. And I don't even care how little, I would argue you want to save as much as you can. But the point being to get started. But I would also challenge you to stretch yourself. I've been asked many times over the years, how much should I save for retirement? And my stock answer is kind of save as much as you can for as long as you can. A better answer would be, you know, let's sit down and let's put a long-term plan together so that you're doing what's right for your long-term plan. The important point here is you have to get started, and don't let inertia prevent you from getting the investment plan started. Again, call in with your questions, 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So you need to start somewhere. That's principle number one. Principle number two I would throw out to you would be educate yourself enough to make informed investment decisions. And you don't need to be an expert. I just think you need to have enough information to be in charge of the investment decisions that you're making. Even if you're working with a professional investment advisor, I still believe it is important that you try to have enough knowledge for yourself that you ultimately are making the decision, the final decisions, with the, under the advice of the the investment advisor. So how do you go about educating yourself so that you can make these informed decisions? Well, there's, take advantage of the information age that we live in, but also be careful of the 24/7 information age, instant information age that we live in. So what do I mean by that? The internet is a wonderful tool, and the educational resources that are available to you at your fingertips are countless. Next week, Lori's going to be, her topic for the show for next week is helpful websites for your financial education. So she's going to spend an entire show just talking about what she sees as some of the top financial education websites. I'm going to give you a few that I like to use myself, and Lori may mention some of these, and I'm sure she'll be mentioning some different ones as well. But one of my favorites, and I think it's common to go with what you know, so one of my favorite financial websites is the Vanguard Group's website, and that's www.vanguard.com. And I think I like the Vanguard website, A, because it's a very good website filled with a lot of great information. Vanguard is an excellent, one of the top two or three mutual fund families. And the first 401k that I ever participated in was a 401k through Vanguard. So it's just a site that I've been familiar with over the years, an organization that I've been familiar with over the years. So I think, the Vanguard website is an excellent website for, and I think they have, very good investment education materials for you. Another great website that I like to use is Charles Schwab's website. That's www.schwab.com. It's an excellent website as well. A website that I use almost every day would be Yahoo's finance website. So that's finance.yahoo.com. For getting ready for today's show, I was on the Yahoo finance website a number of times. And one final website that I'll throw out to you, again, this is all under the guise of it's important to educate yourself to make informed investment decisions. So what are some good resources for you to use? And that's a website called Mint, MINT.com. It's a great personal financial website that's really designed to help you in one place track your total financial picture. So very, very strong website in that regard. in addition to these websites, I think publications, personal finance publications like Money Magazine, Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine are very, very solid resources as well for the individual investor. So it's important to take care, take advantage of this information age that we live in. But I also commented on be careful of the 24/7 information age that we live in. And as you know, you can literally watch the news 24 hours a day. And the same applies to the, you know, to the financial news. You can literally watch financial news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And on one hand, I would say that that's great to have all of that information available to you. We're going to go to a break right now, and when I come back, I'll talk a little bit about the cons of that 24/7.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to WDIY, Community Public Radio for the Lehigh Valley. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Hi, everyone. It's Rod Young, CPA, CFP, hosting Your Financial Choices tonight in place of Lori Siebert. Judy Ann is here, anxiously awaiting your phone calls. We would love to talk to you this evening or take your questions. The number to call is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can also submit your questions online at yourfinancialchoices.com or wdiy.org. Be glad to talk to you about any financial question that you have. But in the meantime, I've been talking about the topic that I've prepared for this evening, and that is a topic, a very broad topic of investing and kind of doing a top 10 list of some basic things I believe you should be taking in terms of how to handle your investments. We're covering a lot of information, in a shallow fashion, to kind of give you some nuggets and things to take with you as you look at your own investment portfolios. So, I've been going through a top 10 list. I started with you need to start somewhere, so begin investing. Use those things like payroll deduction and automatic bank transfer to begin to build an investment portfolio. The second item I've just started talking about before the break was educate yourself enough to make informed decisions. I don't need you to become an expert, but I need you to have enough information and knowledge that you, either on your own or in conjunction with working with your advisor, are making, you know, very well-informed decisions. So, and there's some great resources available to you to make investment decisions and to help you to educate yourself to make investment decisions. And I ran down some websites for you. And I was talking about all this great information that is available to us, and it's available to us 24/7, which on one hand is incredible. But on the other hand, and it's funny, as I was preparing for tonight's show, I Googled articles on what are the top mistakes that individual investors make. And a common theme through all of the articles, and I've seen it myself, is almost as funny as it sounds, paying too much attention to the financial news and the news du jour, so to speak. All the financial headlines. It's the breaking news of the moment. It's the crisis, of the day. It could be Cyprus. It could be Greece. It could be Ben Bernanke's been quoted. It's constant and it's nonstop. And I think what it can result from paying too much hyper attention to the investment news is it's almost looking for you to react. The news almost, it's begging you to react. And if you're reacting to things on a daily basis, I believe it's going to lead to poor decision making. So don't be over responsive. Shut out some of that investment news. Go out and enjoy the sunshine, so to speak. Chances are, for most "quote unquote" breaking investment news, that there's not any immediate action that you need to take, and that we're going to talk about it later. The important thing is going to be putting in place some long term plans. So. Anyway, take advantage of those resources to educate yourself, but don't get caught up in the 24/7 nonstop investment news cycle. Another important area to educate yourself on as it pertains to your investment portfolio, as I said at the beginning of the show, for most of us, our largest financial asset is our employer 401k or 403b. And it astounds me over the years, and I've done shows on this, and I know Lori has as well. I've done entire shows on taking advantage of your employer-provided benefit plans. And so if this is going to become your single largest asset, I do believe it is incumbent upon you to educate yourself regarding your employer plan. So at a minimum, take a look at a document called a Summary Plan Description, SPD for short. Every plan has to have one. Ask for it. And read through the rules of the plan. Read through the types of contributions you're allowed to make. Read about the basic investment options that are offered through your 401k or your 403b plan. Understand what the company match is. And I've said this time and again, at a minimum, stretch yourself to be maximizing when you participate in your 401k plans. Stretch yourself and maximize the company contribution, because that's an immediate investment return on your contribution. Understand the investment options in the plan. A lot of plans now offer what are called age-based options or target retirement-based options, which for most investors, particularly in the early years of their 401k accumulation, I think are great ways to give you immediate broad diversification. We're going to talk about that a little bit more a little bit later in the show. But they're going to give you very, very broad diversification, all kind of in one-stop shopping. So I think take a look at those kind of funds within your 401k plan. And also, and I've talked about this in the past, I'm repeating myself here, understand whether your 401k offers a designated Roth account as part of the 401k. I am a big fan of the Roth. We've done entire shows on it. We'll do shows on it again in the future, so I'm not going to go into the Roth idea and what makes me such a big fan of it in depth tonight. But it's, again, educate yourself. I've talked to many people, and when I meet them for the first time, one of my standard questions that I ask everyone is, does your 401k offer a Roth account? And I would say 8 times out of 10, people say, I don't know. And it's so more and more plans are offering the Roth account as part of the 401k. So not everyone does, though, so your plan may not have it, but at least ask the question and find out. If you're gutsy, if they say no, ask why, because I think it's a great component of a 401k plan. Okay, so this is Rod Young here for Lori. We are running down this the top 10 list of basic investment concepts for you to follow as we're talking about an overall investment plan. I've gladly talk to you for the next 35 minutes, but I'd love to also have your calls. I think that's really what makes the show, live, you know, brings it to life. So the number to call, and Judy Ann is here to take your calls, 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You don't have to talk to me live on the air. You can hand off your question, give your question to Judy Ann if you don't want to go on the air, and she will gladly hand it off to me. Okay, so we're talking about investments. The next item on my top 10 list, so we've only covered two, so I better start moving a little faster here, is understand your risk profile. Well, that's a mouthful, and we can, there's two components to your risk profile. It's a function of risk tolerance and time horizon. So we're going to go to a break in a moment, and when I come back, we're going to talk briefly about this idea of getting a handle on your risk profile.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY, where definitely it's you. Your source for local news and public affairs, NPR and music diversity. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 80 degrees under cloudy skies. Tonight, chance of showers, lows around 64. Thursday, heavy rain, highs around 76. Friday, sunny skies are expected with highs around 82 degrees. And Saturday, chance of thunderstorms with highs around 83 degrees. The time now is 6:25 p.m. Now back to your financial choices.
Hi, everyone. Rod Young, still here with you this evening in place of Lori. We're talking about investments tonight. Be glad to take your calls. The number to call, 610-758-8810. And that's 610-758-8810. Judy Ann is here to take your calls and your questions, and she'll pass them off to me as she just has. So this is from Martha in Allentown. She is off the air. So hi, Martha. I'm going to your question has to do with Roth IRAs, and the question is, do you have to have a minimum amount to start one? How do you go about setting one up? From a pure sense, no, you don't have to have a minimum amount, Martha. You could presumably set one up for a very, open a Roth for a very small amount of money, $50 or $100. From a practical standpoint, a lot of the fund companies have minimum initial amounts that they want you to put in. I think for example, I mentioned Vanguard earlier this evening. I think to open a Roth IRA account at Vanguard and invest in one of Vanguard's funds, most of their funds have an IRA minimum initial investment of, I believe, $1,000. You could confirm that by looking on Vanguard's website. A lot of times the fund companies will waive that minimum initial investment if you open the IRA account and set up an automatic investment plan into the IRA account, and then they'll waive the minimum, and you can start it out, I believe, for as little as $50 or $100 a month. So you can. It's a great question. You can start a Roth IRA with a very, very small amount of money, and then, of course, there are limits on how much money you're allowed to contribute to an IRA. And we can, we've covered that in the past, and we can, I'm sure we'll cover the limits on what you're allowed to put in each year in the future. But in terms of minimums to get started, they're very, very low. So that's why I encourage people, even if it's with a small amount, get the process started. Get that automatic transfer from your checking account to a Roth IRA account. Get it going for $50 a month, and it would be a great strategy. So, Martha, I appreciate the call and the question. Okay, Rod Young, 610-758-8810. Here on Your Financial Choices, we're talking about some investment basics. Before the last break, I mentioned the concept of understand your risk profile, which is, you know, a mouthful. Your risk profile really can kind of be broken into two components, and that is your risk tolerance, and that's the harder of the two to get a handle on. The other is your time horizon, which is a little easier to understand. It's as simple as when are you going to need the money that you're investing. So in terms of the harder of the two, the typical way to get a handle on risk tolerance is to fill out a survey or a questionnaire. There's tools available online where you can do it yourself. Most of the major financial websites have basic risk tolerance questionnaires. Usually there are about 7, 8, 9 questions that they ask you to answer, and then they kind of slot you into an overall risk, risk profile, risk tolerance. And what I mean by that is, how comfortable are you? How do you respond to the volatility of the markets, to the value of your investments swinging wildly? And the more susceptible you, the more you respond to that, the more uncomfortable it makes you, then the lower your risk tolerance. I think you're truly fine. And it's very hard for somebody to say, oh, I know what my risk tolerance is. And how do you really know until you've got some money invested, and particularly you've seen it go down in value? It's amazing how high risk tolerances are when the market's going up every single day. People's risk tolerances can change in a heartbeat when the market starts to fall. So to me, it's an imperfect thing, but you've got to start somewhere. And then time horizon is simply a function of, if you're saving for retirement, you've got a very long time horizon. So you can afford to take a little more risk, because if the value of your investments fall, you've got plenty of time for the markets to recover and for you to, in time for when you're going to need those funds. If you have a short-term horizon for money for the particular investment, then that entails a different investment approach, a different risk tolerance, risk profile for those funds. Take a look at your 401k plans website. I know I keep talking about the 401ks tonight, but a lot of them offer very, very basic risk tolerance questionnaires for you to complete, and then they guide you right to a particular asset allocation model within your 401k plan. And another good way to, I'll put the plug in for myself and the professional advisors out there, certainly sitting down with a professional advisor and talking about risk tolerance and going through a questionnaire would be time well spent as it pertains to your investment portfolio. Okay, so as we work through this list, the next item I have on the list is to connect the dots. So what does that mean? I alluded to it briefly a moment ago. And what I mean by connecting the dots is simply to connect your investment strategy to your financial goals. How you're investing the money has to be consistent with the goal. So it is not uncommon to have multiple financial goals. You may be saving for a first home. You may be saving for college. You may be saving for retirement. Maybe saving before the show tonight, we were talking about weddings and what they cost. So you may have a wedding fund out there. And each of these goals may have different time horizons. A short-term goal might be that you want to buy a home within 2 or 3 years. Well, if you're setting aside money for that, in my opinion, you wouldn't want to take a lot of risk with that money. You have a very short timeline. You want to protect from losing that money, because you want it to be there in 2 or 3 years when you're ready to buy that house. So your investment strategy should be a very short-term oriented investment strategy, because that's a short-term goal. So it would involve very little, if any, equity, you know, riskier type assets. It might be as simple as it all goes into CDs and money market accounts for a short-term goal. You're not worried about what your return is on that. You're worried about making sure you don't lose that money. An intermediate-term goal might be something like college. Maybe you've got a 10, 11-year-old and you're saving for college 6, 7, 8 years down the road. So with that type of goal, you can afford to take a some level of risk with those funds because if the markets do get hit like they did in 2008 and 2009, you still have time for the funds to recover before you need them to pay the college tuition. And for most people, their longest term goal is obviously retirement. And there, the time horizon argues that you can take a lot of risk with your retirement funds. You have to be comfortable with that risk, though. Keep in mind also that when you retire, at the point that you retire, retirement is still a long-term goal because presumably you're planning on being retired for 30-plus years. So you still have a very long time horizon for a significant portion of your retirement funds, arguing for a very long-term approach to your retirement investments. So again, the principle here to make sure of is to connect the dots of the investment strategy to the investment goal. Don't have there be an inconsistency or an incompatibility between how you're invested and what you're invested for. Okay, so we're working our way through the list. We're about halfway through. The number to call if you have questions, 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Again, this is Rod Young, CPA, CFP. Here on Your Financial Choices, hosting for Lori this evening. So what would be next on my top 10 list of things to be thinking about as you as you look at your investment portfolio? Well, you have to come up with an asset allocation strategy. So the next one on my list would be connect your risk profile. We just talked about coming up with a risk profile for you. Connect it then to the asset allocation strategy and come the number one determinant of your long-term investment returns, and studies have shown this. There have been a number of studies done over the years. The number one determinant isn't the individual investment you pick. It's the overall asset allocation of those investments. So quite simply, how much of your investment is going to be invested in the different asset classes? And the broad asset classes are stocks or equities, bonds or fixed income, cash equivalents, and then alternative investments, which is a catch-all for a number of different types of investments. And a lot of times real estate would get put into alternatives, precious metals is in that category, commodities, hedge funds, some things that most of us are not going to be invested in. So really, when I think of asset classes and asset allocations, it's basically stocks, bonds, cash. What percentage of your portfolio is going to be in each of those asset classes? So that allocation strategy needs to get connected back to your risk profile. So if your risk profile says that you're a nervous investor, it wouldn't behoove you to be 100% invested in small cap growth stocks or emerging market stocks. So that's what I'm talking about here. Typically, equities and some of the alternative classes might be viewed as the riskier asset classes. And, of course, bonds are viewed as safer. Although, if we have time, we'll have a little side discussion about bonds because there's a lot of talk about bonds right now and how they're riskier than they have been in the past. So if we have time, we'll talk about that. We did a whole show on it back in February, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it again. Okay, so come up with that appropriate asset allocation strategy that fits your risk profile. We're really coming up with kind of a menu here for you to, almost a scheme for you to walk through to begin to build an investment portfolio. So you've come up with an asset allocation strategy. What's the next step? Well, the next step is to begin to diversify. And that's different. Asset allocation and diversification are two different things. Asset allocation is how, as we just said, is how much of your portfolio is in each of the major asset classes. Diversification, means how spread out are you in terms of the investments you are holding within each asset class. I mean, you could hold one stock, one bond, some gold, and some cash, and you would absolutely be allocated, but you wouldn't in any way be diversified. So stock diversification, boy, we could spend an entire show on equity diversification, bond diversification, you know, the common ways to diversify with your equity investments. And going back to your 401k plans, these target date funds, these model portfolios that are available to most of you now in your 401k plans are going to help you to cover most of these asset classes. For equities, it would be U.S. equities versus foreign equities. Within U.S. equities, it would be, you know, large cap, mid cap, small cap. Looking at the foreign, it would be looking at the areas of the world you're investing in and whether or not you're invested in developed markets or emerging markets. I'm going to stop here for a moment, go to a break, and we'll pick up when we return.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY-FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio. Folks, the time now is 6:40 p.m. Now back to our program.
Hi, everyone. It's Rod Young back here on Your Financial Choices. And just as we went to break, we did get a call, Cheryl from Allentown. And she is off air. And her question had to do with where is the best place to keep cash for the best interest rate. And Cheryl, boy, that is a struggle of a question right now, because as you are, I'm sure, painfully aware, your typical your bank accounts, your money market accounts, your CDs, even CDs that go out a couple years are paying virtually nothing. And I don't have a chart in front of me. For today's show, I didn't look to, do a search to see what were some of the current, best yields out there. I know just from talking with clients and what have you, that they're, that ING seems to offer some competitive interest rates on very short term, accounts, bank accounts, and, what have you. But we're talking, differences of, fractions of a percent or a percent. So there's not a lot out there. Talk to your local bank to see if they have any special, programs going on for new money. Sometimes there's some short-term offerings that they have where they're going to give you a bump in interest rate for some new money. So it never hurts to talk to your local bank. I will see if we can't put on the Your Financial Choices website sometime over the next couple days, if I can't do a quick search of some local interest rates, Cheryl. And so maybe check back on our website, on the Your Financial Choices website, early next week, and I'll promise to have something there for you on interest rates. But it's probably going to depress you, because the rates just aren't very good out there. Now, we have seen a slight uptick in some benchmark interest rates over the past, you know, like over the past couple months, but you're still not going to see much of a movement in short-term savings interest rates that are being offered. It's a very good question, Cheryl, and it's one that as advisors, and we talk about cash as an asset class, and people look at you in this day and age and say, why would I keep any money in cash? It isn't paying anything at all. And it's almost hard in a way because of that to view it as a viable asset class. But you have, you still have to. So it's a great question, Cheryl, and I very much appreciate the phone call. Following up on that question, we got another call. Jeff from Allentown asked the question about gold and is, you know, how does gold fit into your overall investment portfolio? And that's a great question, and that's one we get a lot of. And gold's been, you know, you see the advertisements on TV all the time. Buy gold; it's a great inflation hedge. There's so many. We could do almost an entire show on investing in gold and precious metals because there's many different ways to buy it. So without going down that avenue, in general, precious metals like gold, silver, I think can play an appropriate role in your overall asset allocation strategy. In my mind, they fall under that sleeve of your allocation called alternative investments. And if you have a couple percent of your overall financial assets in gold, I think that's entirely appropriate. So if it's, 3 to 5%, I would be very comfortable with that. Be ready for some volatility from it. It was up, it had a great run for a couple years. It's had a very significant pullback recently. So if you have a little bit of money that you were thinking about putting into gold, not that I'm a market timer by any stretch of the imagination, but, maybe putting a little bit of money back into gold right now wouldn't be a terrible thing. But you got to view it as a long-term investment and be prepared for some volatility. Great question, Jeff. Okay. We're talking about diversification within your asset allocation, and we're talking about diversifying across equities. There's so many different ways to diversify. You typically hear about large cap stocks, mid cap stocks, small cap stocks. Okay, that's great. There's also mega cap stocks. There's a category. If you look on, Investopedia or Wikipedia or some of these investment sites, they'll have different kind of market capitalizations for what's a mega cap stock, a large cap. So the general thresholds that I've come across are, a company that's worth $200 billion or more. I can't even get my brain around that number, is a mega cap stock. So that would be Apple, which, and this is the numbers I'm going to give you are all off of Yahoo Finance website today. Apple's market capitalization right now is $412 billion. ExxonMobil, market capitalization, $416 billion. How about Walmart? $256 billion. So, this is the total value of the outstanding stock of the of those companies. Pretty incredible numbers. So what would be a large cap stock? Something that's under $200 billion but over $10 billion. So Coca-Cola, $178 billion market cap, one of the most recognized brand names on the planet. How about locally here? Air Products, market capitalization, $23 billion. PPL, market capitalization, $18 billion. Facebook, $88 billion market capitalization. Again, all these numbers are off of Yahoo's finance website. today. What would be a mid-cap stock? So that would be a stock somewhere between $2 billion and $10 billion. So a mid-cap stock that I'm familiar with, this is not a stock recommendation at all. It's just a company I'm familiar with, C.R. Bard Corporation. They make medical devices. So if you're in the hospital, you'll probably see C.R. Bard products. $9 billion market capitalization. What's a small cap stock? Pretty much $250 million to $2 billion. So locally, I believe right in that $250 million capitalization would be a company like OraSure Technologies here in Bethlehem. So you want to diversify across market capitalizations. You want to diversify globally with your equities. There's also different investment styles, growth versus value, that look at stocks in two different ways in terms of determining how to build a portfolio. Sometimes growth stocks outperform value stocks. Sometimes value stocks outperform growth stocks. So our argument would be diversify across both types of stocks. But this is just like, the fastest discussion on diversification that you'll ever hear. What about bond diversification? And bonds are in the news a lot lately because of bonds are typically viewed as one of the safest parts of your portfolio, the safest part of your portfolio. But with interest rates having been so low for so long, the way that a bond works, and we've done entire shows on this issue, is when interest rates rise, the value of existing bonds goes down. So the bonds are perceived as a little riskier today than they have been in the past. Doesn't mean there's not a place for them in your portfolio, but you just have to understand the risks. So how do you diversify a bond portfolio? Well, again, you look at domestic U.S. bonds, and the bond market is a global bond market. So you look at international bonds as well. You have to look at credit quality. So do you invest in investment-grade bonds or non-investment-grade bonds, and what does that even mean, and in what allocations? So there's ratings agencies out there that grade the financial health of a company and its ability to pay back its bond obligations. So those typically go from like AAA all the way down to single B down to C. So typically triple B or above, and I think this is Standard & Poor's ratings, triple B or above is considered an investment grade bond. Anything below triple B would be considered non-investment grade or more commonly referred to as junk bonds, which I'm not sure is a great description, but that's the label that's been applied to them. Just Googling it today, and I thought this was the case, there are seven AAA rated, that's the highest rating they can get, seven AAA rated corporate bonds out there right now. Those companies would be J&J, GE, these are some household name companies, GE, Pfizer, Merck, UPS, ExxonMobil, and ADP. So just to give you an idea. We've talked about what the definition of investment grade is. Another diversifying area for bonds is maturity. Should you be invested in shorter-term maturities? Those are typically maturities of 2 years or less. Intermediate term is like 3 to 7 years, that kind of time frame, 3 to 6, 3 to 7 years. Long term would be longer than 6 or 7 year maturity. The longer the maturity, the more susceptible the value of the bond is to rising interest rates, something to keep in mind. So right now, longer-term bonds in many areas are being viewed as kind of a riskier asset to be in right now. And then you can also diversify between taxable and tax-exempt bonds. You know, tax-exempt bonds being bonds issued by states and state and local governments. There's been some highly publicized local municipal bankruptcies lately. Stockton, California, Detroit, Michigan, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So These are cities that are in severe financial stress, and they are going through processes right now to determine their ability to honor their future bond obligations. Very long and complex process. So, diversification is the theme here, and so after you get the allocation down, then you want to get yourself diversified. And again, the nice thing is the 401k plans that we have available to us, most of them offer sufficient investment choices to allow us, even for very small dollars invested, to be pretty broadly diversified. Okay, we're in the home stretch here, folks. This is Rod Young on Your Financial Choices. We've had a couple questions tonight. I'm running down this top 10 list of investment ideas and themes and things to be, to be thinking about. Number four on my list is to employ some tried and true investing basics. And by the way, we still probably have time for a call. So if something pops into your head in the next minute or two, you want to ask the question, the number to call is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. So as we quick rush through these investing ideas, employ some tried and true investing basics. So what are some of those investing basics that I'd be talking about? Well, one of them is known as dollar cost averaging. And this simply is the idea of investing money gradually into the market over a period of time. And we've talked about payroll deduction and for your 401k, and by its nature, payroll deduction is a form of dollar cost averaging. But what happens, so you're doing it automatically when you're investing in your 401k, you're taking advantage of dollar cost averaging. The whole idea of dollar cost averaging is you don't know when the market's, whether it's going to go up, whether it's going to go down tomorrow. None of us do. And because of that, if you have money to invest to kind of mitigate some downside risk, invest it. It may be prudent to invest that money over time. So what do you do when you have a lump sum slug of money to invest? And as an advisor, I always, my mantra is typically to proceed with caution. And so you come up with an appropriate time frame. And you, invest that over that appropriate time frame. At the same time, I am a huge fan of keeping things simple. And I had a phone call with a client this morning who, through a particular transaction, had a significant sum of money to invest. And I walked him through the idea of doing this over investing this new cash that he had, investing that over time into the markets, and perhaps over the next 6 months or so, or investing it all at once. And his response was, if he did it over time, chances were he'd get the first slug of money invested and would forget about it, get busy, wouldn't get the remainder of it invested, and it would just be sitting there in cash. So he understood the risks of getting it all invested right away, but it was his choice. It was the simpler approach to just get it invested. And so I endorsed that. I totally understand where he's coming from on it, and I think it was the appropriate decision for him. Another tried and true investing basic is the idea of rebalancing your portfolio. And there's different articles out there. What this means is to look at your overall asset allocation. You've come up with a strategy that you decided you were going to be 75% in stocks and 25% in bonds, is to revisit your allocation periodically to make sure that you are still 75% in stocks, 25% in bonds. And if you're not, rebalance back to that allocation because you had done some work to determine that that was the proper allocation for you. So there's different theories. Do you do it just, do you do it based on time, like once a year, or do you do it based on a threshold approach where if your allocation falls more than, say, 5% out of what your target is, when it hits that threshold, you rebalance back to the target. I can argue both sides of that one. I think the important point is to put in some kind of discipline to rebalance your portfolio. I would argue you do it at least once a year because it forces you at least that one time a year to look seriously at your portfolio and make some decisions. I'm a bit also a big fan of keeping it simple, as I just said. So if the whole threshold approach and looking at the percent, how much percentages you've swayed off of your target is just too complex for you, then just agree that once a year, maybe in the month of your birthday or whatever, come up with a strategy to take a look at your portfolio and rebalance it once a year. Okay, we just got done talking about keep it simple, and so that's another one of my basic investment concepts here to talk about, and that is to keep your investment plan simple. So too many accounts confuses things, and I've had many people walk into my office and they've got accounts just over time that have spread out all over the place, little bits here, little bits there. It makes it hard to track. It makes it harder to figure out what your true overall allocation is. Keep things simple in that regard. And consolidation can be a good thing. And it makes things easier to monitor. I know I'm flying through this stuff right now because we're coming down to the last minute or so of the show here, folks. The second last item I have on my list of 10 basic investment things to be taking into account as you look at your investment portfolios. And we could spend a whole show on this. Understand the costs, including taxes, associated with your investments. Mutual fund expense ratios, 12B1 fees, loads, commissions, wrap fees, deferred sales charges, trading fees, premiums, discounts, markups. There's all kinds of costs associated with being an investor. And that doesn't even count the taxes, short-term gains, ordinary income, capital gains, qualified dividends. So it's important to get a handle on what the costs are and understand what you're getting for those costs. And there's just a lot of hidden costs. You can find them, but you got to go look at them. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, folks. We are we're just about out of time. It's been great. I appreciate the calls this week. It's been great to be on. I'm in place of Lori. Lori's going to talk about helpful websites for your financial education next week. And as Lori always says, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Thank you, Judy Ann, and thank you, Jeff. Good night.